dolphins is as big as something like here. The language was common or general for them. Two nations of them has formated, Finns and Estonians. Estonians also with a quite large Estonian literature, and having a Western type of culture continuously, being Soviet Republic, but anyway, having too much Russian people there nowadays, but anyway, a living literature. The third nation, so to say, Karelians, they have a language which is more than a dialect of Finnish language, but so lately as in the beginning of 30s, Karelians living here, they were denied to use the Karelian language in books and newspapers, but take Finnish instead of. That was Stalin's solution, decision. He may be that time dreamed of a greater Finland as a part of Soviet Union, and was eager to have a Finnish-speaking element here, maybe the leading group of a greater Finland to come in connection with Soviet. They nowadays still have here in Petrograd, Petrozavodsk. Petrograd is the same as Leningrad. Petrozavodsk, a Finnish theater and Finnish newspaper, Finnish periodicals and everything. They are just correct, a little bit old-fashioned Finnish, but it's not Karelian. They have songs and poems in Karelian. They are impossible to understand for a Finn. The difference between Estonian and Finnish is bigger than that between Swedish and Danish. The Lapps, original Lapps here, their language differs from Finnish more than Swedish differs from English. Do I still have time?
Sure.
I would like to use a little bit more than just 3/4. The first commercial system, independent of if they were Finns or some other items, was Western. The commercial law was Western European. Certain laws concerning commerce by the riverside, of these rivers here. Kogi is a Flemish word, and quite odd in Finnish language, but it is an old family name and a place name just in Western Finland. And it's so that the Kogi justice, Kogi law, has been in power here before the Swedes came. How to go Western culturally? Culture here means now, from now, some minutes. Culture means same as religion. Finland became a Catholic country and Catholic nation during Middle Ages. There was Christianity here before the Swedes came. Christian elements, maybe by the Frisian and Flemish people, carried by them, But there was a competition also, how to make, how to take these wastelands or borderlands. German church first made attempts, but they failed. Bremen was the place for bishop who tried to give the Catholic religion to these countries here and this here. But he failed, Albrecht or something. The Englishmen were more successful. Their bishop, Henry, actually was killed here in the beginning of 12 and something. Killed by a Finnish farmer leader, landowner, some kind of head of peasants. He lost his war. He won the battle, but lost the war. Became then hero in a way. Nowadays he is a hero, battling, fighting against Englishmen and against Swedes and other Western powers. The man he killed became a saint, the only of Finland's saints during the Catholic time, but the killer, murderer, became a hero when Finland was independent, about 700 years later. The Swedes and our Swedish labeled history tells that the Swedes from here made crusades to Finland and made Finns to believe on Catholic God or Catholic religion. It might not be true literally. Instead of it, the Finnish professors have now theory that there was two sea unions or powers, one including some parts of Sweden and some parts of Western Finland here. Swedish big lakes are here, Mälaren and those others, and Finnish big rivers here, big rivers and big lakes, and a sea power here, and another here between Estonia of today and ordinary Finland of today. They had another power, and between those powers there were wars, and when this power then won that power, it at the same time meant that Finland became part of Sweden, part of the Swedish realm. Continuation also is tied or bound with religion. The Swedish kings, within their imperialism, made more and more people here Lutheran, then beginning from 1520. Lutheran, and some part of Karelians became Lutherans. All these were Finns inhabitants, Finnish-speaking inhabitants here, everywhere. And it was, of course, pressure from here to make the inhabitants Greek Orthodox, but the Swedish kings were more powerful until Peter the Great, 17. how Finland became and kept politically Western, despite from the year 17 all the Swedish wars, Swedish-Russian wars were lost by Sweden. The early thought of independent, or that Finland is different from Sweden, it grew with the military defeats of Sweden. Deciding wars, so-called Finland's War, 1808-09. We still in our time of independence, in the 40s, 50s, we used a poem collection by Runeberg, in Science Stall's tales, to describe the heroes of a war. That was the lowest war, there were losers in the war. Russia won and formally took all the Finland. But what happened? By losing that war with many, many, many heroes, Finland just had an opportunity of changing government. We became free from Swedish government here and from the Swedish administration, which was quite strong and bad because it was centralized. It was centralized, more and more centralized, with the kings of 70s and 18th century. Sweden was a modern centralized state. Russia was an old type empire, multi-nation, multi-culture, multi-religion. And it was important to Alexander the First to have friends here, not enemies like Sweden was, but just friends. Friends who should not dream of re-cooperation with Sweden. That's why Alexander the First, so to say, gave autonomy to Finland. But which type of Finland? It was not all Finns, because these Swedish provinces also were included into the Grand Duchy of Finland. But also here the border was drawn a little bit differently. Quite a lot of Finnish-speaking people remained in here in Sweden, and they are the speaking old-fashioned Finns, but understanding Finns. That was a crucial thing and important that we not were part of Sweden was to make us more and more Western, to develop our own system of administration and government after the Swedish patterns. During the Russian time, more than one century, Finland has had Swedish law, Swedish constitution. It still has Swedish constitution from the year 1788 or something. Still has. The law and administration were after Swedish model. The government was here instead of here. Not here. Here we had only one representative of the Finnish government. St. Petersburg, the Russian Empire, had a governor here. Governor was formerly, the Russian governor was formerly the head of the Senate or government. Practically, the chairman, the prime minister of autonomous Finland, was vice chairman of Senate. And as a governor, beginning the first part, the first 50 years, it was possible that a Finnish man, nobleman, was Russian governor, because the nobility was international, overnational. Finnish family served Swedish kings at the same way as the Russian emperors and so on. The internationalism of nobility was visible and significant. The time, the 19th century, included, among other things, a Pax Russica, Russian peace. More than 100 years, Russian peace. And it was a great, great century of Finnish culture also. Finnish culture was made during that time and made Western. I exaggerate if I say that all this was made by Finnish politicians and Finnish politics. Actually, we had just one diet, 1809, when the system began, was made. The constitution was made, and some parts of American constitution, which was not more than some decades old at that time, were adapted by that constitution. But it was not actually used. The diet was not gathered, was not called for gathering for 50 years. 47 years. But the administration and everyday life and commercial and so on were in Swedish ways. Modern political life of Finland begins with the year 1863. That's exact, can be said exactly. Then the diet was called together, and some items of modern parties got their formation. The diet was four estate diet, nobility and so on. But the parties were in each estate. In the nobility, in the priest, in the bourgeois, and among the farmers. Parties, especially lingual-basis parties, Finns, Fennoman, and so on, arguing more rights to Finnish language, which was not clear of itself. All the administration was Swedish. The same year we already got the law making both languages equal, giving 20 years time to make it true, but it was made. The same year, national leader, philosopher Snellman, Johan Wilhelm Snellman, Swedish, born in Stockholm, just occasionally because his father was a captain on board ship, but his native tongue anyway was Swedish. He made a Swedish writing student to write Finnish instead of Swedish, founding that way the Finnish literature. We had, of course, our national epos Kalevala. We had it already 20 years that time, but only 500 Finns had tried to read it. It's not easy to read an epos if you are not learned to read Finnish. The language in schools was Swedish, and the language of that student to become the founding father of our literature, both as novel and theater, his cultural language was Swedish. He was compelled in age of 26 to change his language, to write in Finnish. That was a condition put by Snellman. Otherwise he had not got that great stipend he got, and which was typical for the ways making culture. Anyway, it's quite deciding, quite crucial in many things, which language you have had in school. It was more than miracle that he did that in Finnish so well. He did. It was no epos. He was making plays and one big novel, and they were made in Western patterns. He, in school and after school, read mainly Shakespeare and Cervantes from Spain. Novel is made like Cervantes did, and plays like Shakespeare. But they are genius and good and everything. His name was Stenwall, Stonewall, Swedish. He used pen name Kivi, which means just stone. And it became a stone foundation. What's that? Kivijalka.
Foundation,
this was what I meant to say. To the Finnish literature. Snellman, the philosopher, made at the same time national theater, national opera, national ballet, and everything. Finland was made to a culture, not grown as Sweden, maybe England, France. It was just made from the elements which happened to be there. Some Swedes, many Finns, some Laps, some Russians, and especially Germans here during the time, from the times the Germans were strong here, from some Gypsies and some Jews. Mainly Lutheran, mainly racially like Scandinavian and Baltic people are, but having some elements of all ethnic groups which are known in Europe. All the elements are to be found also in Finland among the Finns. So the culture was domestic made, but there also we moved very fast. This great year was 1863, and already 1883 we had flourishing Finnish literature, and Finnish music, painting, architecture, Sibelius as a composer, and Eliel Saarinen as an architect, known also in the States. They were active already, both sides of 1900. Just that time began the Russian oppression, Russification items over Finland. Maybe the culture was the answer by the Finns against that suppression. On the other hand, we can think that it's a good thing to have a little bit of oppression instead of consensus like we nowadays have, to make it better culture. When you are in danger, you act maybe more profoundly than if you are secure. and have had everything well done. But I believe on that clarification that the thought philosophy really is profitable and profitable if needed, because it was bland. Snellman could only wait, make prophecies of that flourishing. But if he made, and so he made, he had right, he was right. It was there. Our first part of independence is poor culturally than the suppression time. We were in a way just independent between the world wars, independent really, not listening too much Moscow, but culturally it was not very favorable time. In afterwards, after the wars, it has been more known, our the composers and the painters and architects and designers are again world widely known, and we can think the same of the literature, despite it is not because of the language. So my statement for to finish this is that it was important to Finns also lose both world wars. The first we lost twice. For to begin, we were part of Russian Empire, and Russian Empire lost the war. Towards the end of that war, the winners of Finnish Civil War, the White, they were trusting on Germany, and Germany lost the war. Finland became independent and Western. That statement includes that we also lost Civil War. I lost that, or my ancestors and my physical and intellectual grandfathers were lost, the Red Side was lost, and it was quite cruel. Might have been one of the most cruel civil wars in Europe, and ridiculous enough is that the consensus, the co-understanding of Finnish parties is somehow unique in Europe, despite just we have had a civil war, a cruel civil war during this century. Might be just that civil war left so much to be think, to be thought, made that we don't need, we don't desire any wars, any civil wars, any quarrels anymore. The same result from the Second World War. Finland's situation was to make balance, to clear its independence, to preserve its independence between two dictators, Stalin here and Hitler here. Hitler and Stalin together united Finland 1939 by making that Ribbentrop Agreement and the secret amendment or additional record of it, where Hitler promised all the power Russians here if this border were peaceful. So we thought we were fighting both against Hitler and Stalin during the Winter War. That's why the Finnish workers failed in civil war, also were eager to fight against Russia, formerly against Russia. And the Finnish communists, not only workers, but with membership in illegal Communist Party of Finland, founded in Moscow in 1918, after the Civil War, made all illegal in Finland 1930. They have They had organizations which had representatives in the parliament on, under other names, other titles in Finland during the first decade, but not then anymore. But they were active in that movement, members in the Social Democratic Party, and fighting intellectually and physically against Russia in the war. In so-called continuation war, 41 to 44, the situation was a little bit different. We never admit that we were allies of Hitler or Nazi Germany. We were just co-belligerent with Germany, but independent. We had a Nazi movement, a Nazi party, which was not illegal, but it was not government party during the war, continuation war either. All the other parties were, it was a national front, national coalition of parties, from conservatives to social democrats. Outside were only communists, which were illegal, and Nazis, which were practically closed outside. So we were co-belligerent, that's the word. And before the World War II was finished, Finland fighted against German troops here, northern Finland. We finally won Germany in the war and became Western Germany itself. I had something here to underline to finally. Yes, our participation in Europe commercially is so visible that you don't need any figures of that anyway. Anyway, we are integrated in 1960 already with EFTA, EFTA, European Free Trade Area Agreement, and then from 72 agreement with EEC, or nowadays EC. There is a discussion in neutral Nordic countries going on, Sweden and Finland. They are pressured by Brussels to take a membership in EC, European Community. Otherwise, the interests in trade are not such as they are now. Practically, Finland will be member of EC, but not that way that overnational, supranational legislation would be valid in Finland. And what is my last paradox today is that just now, that's Russia, that's Moscow, which argues that Finland must be independent. They don't say that Finland must not be member of EC. They just say that Finland must preserve its independence. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 2,000 years of Finnish history in less than 90 minutes, that's quite a task to do. I don't know whether folks want to stay to talk to you more informally, perhaps around the table. I have an exam myself I have to get to here anyway and take off. I should say that Arvo Salo will be discussing his work as a playwright on November 23rd in Clark Hall at about 4:30. We hope, anyway, the room is tentative. We hope we can get it up in the top of Clark Hall. Wherever it occurs, we're going to have a party afterwards, a sort of for where all those interested in Scandinavia or Scandinavians are invited. We're going to get advice anyway. And so that we'll see the third side of Arvo Salo that time as indeed a playwright. He'll be talking, in fact, about the stage as a political platform in Finland. And some of the things that he's talked about here will be probably brought up more indeed, since I know one of your plays In fact, it deals with Finnish politics and, in a sense, also political history. It satirizes and talks about the Finnish fascist movement, the Lapua movement, and so forth. So we'll learn your taste as a satirist, as well as we learned today your taste for paradox and how Finland loses wars but somehow wins.